12 and verse number 15. Look what the Bible says in verse number 15. It says, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then those shall those things be which thou hast provided. So is he, verse 21, that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your blessing and the wonderful music we've heard this morning. And we're grateful, Lord, that we can sing a new song to you. We're grateful that in all of the troubles of our life, we can sing with confidence that you truly are a friend to us, and that you love us and care about us, and that you will take care of us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us in these next moments to change our perspective of tomorrow. I pray you would help us, Lord, to trust in you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd give me strength, and I pray you'd give me wisdom as I preach your word this morning. And I pray you would help us all to be not just a listener, a hearer, but also a doer. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, most of us walked into church this morning with tomorrow already planned. Our calendars know where we'll be. Our phones remind us what we're going to do. And our mind assures us that tomorrow will arrive right on schedule. Now, the Bible doesn't, of course, discourage planning. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 21 and verse 5, it says, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want." It is wise to be a planner. It is wise to plan and to prepare. And in our text here in the book of James, James is not condemning preparation. What he's condemning is presumption. He's condemning the fact that we believe that tomorrow is owed to us. And it's really plans without God. Now, the spiritual Christian doesn't say, "God, here are my plans. I want you to bless them." Now, what a spiritual Christian says is, "God, here are my plans. I want you to direct them." We are giving our tomorrow over to the Lord. Now, one thing is for sure. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow, and we're grateful for that. You know, if we sit and we concentrate on the unknowns of tomorrow, it can be a scary thing. You know, we are not in control of the future. We're not in control of tomorrow. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 1. It says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And we don't know what a day will bring forth. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. You know, how many people woke up in the morning and began their day like they normally do, and they had some breakfast. Maybe they headed off to work, or maybe they visit with some family, and not thinking in a million years that today would be their last day upon this earth, or not thinking in a million years that something would happen today that would alter their life completely. I think in recent news, a man named Andrew Moore, the president and CEO of a Canadian bank, well-known in Canadians' mortgage and banking community, this week died unexpectedly at the age of 65. I think of the 74-year-old man who was killed in a multi-vehicle collision on the highway, a major highway in Mission near Vancouver. And what police say, he was on his typical morning commute. I think of the young postgraduate student at the University of Alberta who died of sudden cardiac arrest despite what they say being active and healthy just days before. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us. We don't know what a day, the Bible says, what a day will bring forth. And so the Bible teaches us that we are not to boast or be presumptuous about tomorrow. Now, at the beginning of our message, we read Luke chapter 12 and verses 16 to 21. It's about a man who thought that tomorrow was all secure in his life. I mean, he had his crops already. His business was successful. When the barns filled up, he had plans to expand, to build bigger barns, to store up for the future. In fact, he said, Saul, he says, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He assumed that many years were just guaranteed in his life. He thought his life was under his own control. And yet, here's the key, this man planned tomorrow without God. And the Bible says, I think one of the most chilling words in Scripture, this night thy soul is required of thee. The Bible says, this night thy soul is required of thee. You see, the problem with this man was not planning. The problem was planning without God, being presumptuous about tomorrow. The unknown can be hard to process, can it? I mean, it's difficult for us to think about it. If we think about it for long periods of time, we become stressed, we become worryful, and we think about what tomorrow could hold. Amanda Ripley wrote an article in Time magazine in September the 22nd in 2009, and in this article, she wrote about uncertainty. And this is what she wrote in her article. She said, the brain loathes uncertainty. She said, in laboratory experiments, humans actually fear uncertainty more than even physical pain. We are simply wired that way, she wrote in her article. When we encounter uncertainty, the first thing we try to do is fight it back. Now, James is writing to Christians here. And the book of James was written in such a practical way. In fact, many call the book of James the Proverbs of the New Testament. James is correcting an issue within the lives of these believers. Their profession didn't match their practice. And so the Christian life was being talked about. The Christian life was being discussed. But the problem that God saw was that the Christian life wasn't being lived out. And so James writes with this practical advice, and he talks about this living faith that is seen in our life each and every day. Now, when we get to James chapter 4, James is dealing with a whole host of issues. And sometimes we look at these host of issues and we think, well, they're not connected. They're just random thoughts, but they are not random thoughts. They are connected, and they are important to our message here this morning. Before we can talk about tomorrow, we have to get the picture of what James is painting for us. And so let's break it down quickly. In verses 1 and 3, he's talking about the source of conflict. James says that conflict doesn't come from the circumstances around us. The circumstances, of course, is that this was a persecuted people that were scattered abroad. And James is saying that the problem is not the circumstances, but the problem is from within. And he talks about ungoverned or uncontrolled desires that lead to fighting and envying and broken relationships and even selfish prayers. He talks about selfish prayers where instead of surrendering those desires to God, what we do in our prayers is we ask God to serve those desires. And so he's talking about these ungoverned desires in our life. And then he talks about in verses 4 and 5 the danger of divided loyalty. James uses strong language here. He says that friendship with the world is not about, of course, people or hobbies or, secular jobs. But he's talking about a value system, a way of thinking. And he talks about the fact that if we are friends with the world, then we are in opposition against God. That's what James is saying. And God desires wholehearted devotion, not divided allegiance. And then he talks about the pathway of grace in verses 6 and 10, or verses 6 to 10. Pride puts us in this opposition to God, and humility opens the door to God's grace and God's strength in our life. And so what does James say? He says, submit to God. He says, draw near to God, or draw nigh to God, and humble yourself before God. And this is the promise that James gives us. He says, God will lift you up if you do those things. And then he talks about the problem with judging others in verse 11 and 12. And this, of course, is an issue of the heart as well. This judging others is the idea of forgetting about our own heart and our own conditions and pointing fingers at others and not realizing that it is us that is in need of God's grace in our life. And so he says, this is a pride issue in your heart. And then he comes to verses 13 and 15, and he talks about this illusion of control. Pride finally shows up in our hearts and in our lives with this presumption about tomorrow. Life is a vapor, James tells us. It's fragile, it's uncertain. And assuming tomorrow is guaranteed is the same pride in our life that can cause conflict, it can cause divided loyalty, and even judgment of others. Now, let's put this together here. What James is saying is the problem is our heart. The issue is inside. The issue is a prideful heart. This is what he's saying. And when we think about that and we look about tomorrow or look at tomorrow, I think we could say this morning that there's two types of people that look at tomorrow. The first type of person is fearful, and they try to control tomorrow through their worry. And they're trying to worry so that they can control tomorrow. The second type of person, I think, is a confident heart who assumes tomorrow through presumption. And so James is dealing with these two types of people. And he's talking about tomorrow, and he's giving us, I think, important truths to help us. Because if we are going to deal with tomorrow, James is teaching us that we need to submit to God today. And there's the answer right there. It's about submitting to God today. Let me give you some thoughts here. Number one, can we think about a proper perspective of tomorrow? Can we think about a proper perspective of tomorrow? Now, what is tomorrow? Well, we know that tomorrow is tomorrow. And we know that tomorrow is the day that follows today. And we also understand that God is already in tomorrow. Now, that's hard for us to understand. God is an eternal God, and God, he's not bound by time nor space. He knows the joys that await tomorrow, and he also knows maybe the struggles that are present in tomorrow as well. God is already in tomorrow. And James lays out for us this blueprint of our life. He teaches us, first of all, that our life is fragile. Our life is fragile. In fact, James says that life is just a vapor. Though many people live their life like it's permanent, the Bible says that life is just a vapor. It's here for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. James teaches us this principle that life is delicate and it's fleeting. Now, the fact that we woke up this morning, I hope that you woke up this morning, I hope that you're awake, is a wonderful blessing. Amen? The fact that we woke up this morning is a gift. It's an opportunity. It's a blessing from God. In fact, the Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. It says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Life appears for a little time, and then it vanisheth away, the Bible says. Now think about this. If we live to be 40, 50, 60, 70, if we live to be 100, 110, life is just a little time, a little time. As far as life is concerned, the only guarantee that we have is in this moment right now, in this time right now. And if you're not a Christian, I invite you to trust in Jesus today. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We cannot save ourselves. Jesus died for us. He gave his life so that we could have eternal life. And the invitation of salvation is today. Paul put it this way, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time appointed, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, he says, now is the accepted time. Now is the time for salvation. Now is the time to make decisions for the Lord. Now is the time to come back to God. Now is the time to do what is right. And I pray today that you will make good decisions in the moment that you have, in the time that you have, because we are not guaranteed tomorrow. Our life, we are frail. We are frail. I want to remind you that sometimes tomorrows are hard. They're hard. Sometimes tomorrow brings unexpected loss. Sometimes tomorrows can bring sudden illness or maybe difficult conversations. Sometimes tomorrow can bring heavy news or maybe change plans. And Jesus understood this. He understood that tomorrows can be hard. Can we go to Matthew chapter 6 in our Bibles? Matthew chapter 6. And I want us to highlight an expression here that's found in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 34. Look what Jesus said here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. The Bible says, Jesus said, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Now, this is the expression I want us to think about. He says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, Jesus acknowledges the fact that every day has its own trouble. The word there, evil there, it doesn't mean moral wickedness. What he's talking about is hardship or troubles. There's enough trouble in tomorrow to deal with tomorrow. Not today. Don't bring the troubles or maybe the presumed troubles of tomorrow into today, Jesus is saying. He's talking about worry. Tomorrows can be hard. I'll never forget the day when my dad was taken to hospital. He was sitting in the hospital. I was sitting in the hospital with my mom and my sister. The doctor was trying to explain to us that my dad had just been diagnosed with an acute leukemia. I was 15 years old at the time, that was a difficult day. That was a tough day. That was a hard day. It's engraved deep in my soul. And you know, one moment I'm playing street hockey with my friends, and another moment I'm sitting in a hospital getting this news. And you know what I'm talking about. Listen, you've experienced hard days. You know what I'm saying. Events that you never saw coming. We cannot pridefully think that we can control these circumstances. And we can't worry enough to make them go away. And by the way, we can't assume that those days will never come. We must rest in the arms of our Savior and trust in Him. And we're reminded in the Bible that God carries away these burdens. Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew chapter 6 that tomorrow is not something that we can control, that we are to rest in him and rest in the Lord. You know, we sang Day by Day. It's a hymn written with that exact message. It was written by Alina Sandel. She was a Swedish Christian who knew deep sorrow. She watched with her own two eyes her father drown before her. And out of that immense grief in her life, Lena learned that God doesn't give strength in your life all at one time for all of your troubles throughout all your life, that he gives his strength day by day. And so she wrote in her hymn, and it's such a wonderful message, day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. God doesn't promise in our life grace for the unknowns of tomorrow, but what he does promise is grace for the obedience of today. He helps us with our today. He helps us in the moments of today. But how do we find this grace? Well, let's think about not only a proper perspective of tomorrow, but can we think about a proper posture for tomorrow? What is the posture of the believer? Well, I think James lays it out for us wonderfully in James chapter 4. And he begins by saying that we are to humble ourselves before God. Look what the Bible says in verse number 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. In chapter 4, verse 6, he says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth, or God opposes the proud, but God gives grace unto the humble. Now, in a prideful heart, our heart will say, I can manage tomorrow. I can handle tomorrow. But in a heart of humility, now notice the difference. The heart of humility says, I need God to help me. 1 Peter chapter 5 or 6, can we turn there? Peter echoed the same truth. In 1 Peter chapter 5, look what the Bible says in verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter 5 or 6, he says this. 1 Peter 5 or 6, he says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And so humility brings this quiet dependence on the Lord. Secondly, not only is there humility, but what is this posture of the Christian? I think it's draw near to God. Draw near to God. Verse number 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now notice here that James is shifting his attention away from tomorrow, and he's shifting now his attention on the God who controls tomorrow. He says, draw nigh to God. Put your attention on the Lord. Can we go to Proverbs chapter 3 again? We've used this much in our study, but it's a great verse and great verses to help us in trusting the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And then he says this, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Now, if we're going to acknowledge God, then we're going to turn our worries into prayers. Now, can we go to Philippians chapter 4 in our Bibles? Philippians chapter 4. All of these verses are dealing with tomorrow. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Look what the Bible says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Notice what Paul says here, verse 6. He says, be careful for nothing. This speaks of worry. It defines for us worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And notice the response of this drawing nigh to God. And the peace of God, he says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You see, James talks about dealing with our sin, our indifference, a double-minded man. He talks about confessing it all to God, getting real with God. And then this is what he says. He says, in all of these things, draw nigh to God. Get closer to God. You know, when a child is afraid, a child's not so much interested in knowing all the details about the circumstance. You know what they're interested in? Getting closer to their mom and their dad. And this is how God wants us to handle tomorrow. He wants us to draw nigh to him. He wants us to get closer to him. And as we draw nigh to God, here's the promise. If you draw nigh to me, I'm going to draw nigh to you. He says, you act and then I'll act. You pray and I'll give peace. This is the promise of the Bible. As we acknowledge him, he directs our paths. It's a proper perspective about tomorrow. It's a proper posture for tomorrow. But can we notice, thirdly, a proper plan for tomorrow? And so where do we go from here? How do we handle the unknowns or the uncertainties of tomorrow? Well, look what the Bible says in James chapter 4, and verse 15. He says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now, James is not saying don't make plans for tomorrow. That's not what James is saying. James is not saying you need to cancel that dentist appointment. James is not saying you need to cancel that doctor's appointment. You know, that's not what James is saying. What James is saying here is that we need to recognize the one who orders our days. We need to recognize the one who's in control of our plans. And then he tells us that we need to submit to him. And I want to break it down for us here as we think about a plan for tomorrow. I think, first of all, it begins with an ordered life. The Bible says, can we go actually to Psalm 37 in our Bible? Psalm 37. And look what the scriptures say here in verse 23. Psalm 37, excuse me, verse 23. And notice what it says here. It says this, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, the good man, delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now the Bible says if the Lord will, or if it's the Lord's will, is the expression there, a trusting life is simply acknowledging God's will for my life tomorrow and believing that it is good and believing that it is right. This is the trust that we need. Can we go to another scripture in Romans chapter 12 in our Bibles? Romans chapter 12, and notice what the scriptures say here in verse number 2. Romans chapter 12 in verse number 2. And can we connect the dots here? Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now notice how these messages between Paul and James, I believe, are very connected. Notice he says, don't be conformed to the world. Again, what does James say? James says, no friendship with the world. No undivided attention. No, God wants your full attention. He says, be not conformed to this world, the values of the world, the ideologies of the world, the thinking of our world. Don't be conformed to that. No, be transformed by the renewing of your mind as the Word of God impacts your life to have a biblical perspective of your life and the will of God. And as we follow the will of God, as we trust God by tomorrow, the Bible says that we will prove that God's will is good, that God's will is perfect, and that God's will is acceptable every single time. This is what James is telling us. This is not about a life filled with good. I'm not saying if you follow these three steps that your life, your tomorrow will be wonderful, sunshine and roses. No, that's not what God is saying. But what God is saying is as you humble yourself, you will submit to the will of God for your life tomorrow. And you will trust that God's will is good. It is a life that is ordered by the Lord. And this is for God's eternal purpose. You say, what is God's eternal purpose for my life? Well, I'm glad you asked. Romans chapter 8 teaches us this. The Bible says in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. What's this predestination? It is to be conformed to the image of his son. It is that we would be like Jesus. And so God's will is good and God's will is perfect because God is at work in our life to mold us and to make us what we ought to be. And so there is a drawing nigh. There is a submission. There is a trust in God as we face the tomorrows of our life. And this is an ordered life. But secondly, can we think about this? This is a strengthened life. A strengthened life. God orders our tomorrow with his will. And we recognize it, we embrace it, and we trust him in it. Can we go in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4? Once again, Philippians chapter 4, and I want to read another passage here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, and notice what Paul said. Now, Paul is talking about tomorrow. He's talking about God's will, more specifically in his life. And this is what Paul said about God's will in his life. He says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Now, we know that tomorrow can bring good things. Tomorrow can be a good day. We know that tomorrow can be a hard day. And Paul is saying in our scripture here, I know both how to abase and I know how to abound, and everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. This was Paul's tomorrows. I mean, what Paul is saying is that there were times in the will of God that I had much and there were times I had nothing. There were times that God gave bounty, and there were times when things were taken away. And Paul's days were filled with good and hard days. We know that because we have his biography. We read about his life. There were times when Paul received bad news. There were times when Paul faced great persecution. He was beaten and left for dead. There were times where Paul had ministry troubles. He's sitting in a Roman jail cell, and he writes to Timothy. He's saying, everyone has left me, Timothy. They've all forsaken me. Will you leave also? He says, notwithstanding, God stood with me. There were times when Paul no longer had support. There were times in Paul's life that people broke his heart. I mean, he writes, Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present world. And yet, this is what Paul says in verse 13. This is going to help us about tomorrow. He says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, this is the key for our tomorrow, folks, is not to be sitting here worrying about what could happen, but to understand that God has a plan for my life, an ordered plan for my life tomorrow. And whatever shows up, whatever comes, whatever God allows, he's going to give me the grace to sustain it, to get through it, and to grow through it. And God gave him the strength for the hard tomorrows, and he also gave him the strength for the difficult todays. Paul said, God's grace is sufficient. This was the words of Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, you will find strength. And that is the message I want to encourage you with as we trust him in tomorrow. But one last thing. I think as we realize there's an ordered life, I think if we realize that there's strength in the days, I think the result of that is a thankful life. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Can we turn there? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And look what the scriptures say. Here's what Paul said. He said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks. Why, Paul? Because this is God's will. Now, I'm always torn with this passage of Scripture. I'm torn because I look at this and I interpret it one or two ways. Is Paul saying, give thanks, this is God's will to give thanks? Or is Paul saying, give thanks because whatever comes in your life is the will of God? I think it's the latter. I think what he's saying is you need to be a thankful Christian and look to God because all the tomorrows, all the events, all that comes in your life, this is God's good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. And that you can rest in God's control. The result, I believe, is a thankful heart. A thankful heart to know that I am in the care of God. A thankful heart to know that my days are ordered by the Lord. And a thankful heart to know that God is good and his will is perfect. So what does it mean for us today? Here's what it means. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. It means that you don't have to worry about what could be. You can trust God who is leading us and guiding us. We can rest in him. And we cannot allow pride to convince us in our heart that we have this under control, because at the very heart of the matter, we need God in our life. And if we have pride, we are just opposing the one who wants to help us. And so invite him in your life. Ask him to help you. And trust in him for a tomorrow. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your